Father, we come by the Spirit of Christ to declare you as God. Lord, that the very thought within your very being to possess the soul of man.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, we lift up our soul this evening unto the very highest heaven. And we say, Lord, you alone are God.
Amen.
Over every region of our soul. Lord, we bring the dark, the very dark, unreached dimensions of our mind, of our emotions, desire and will, and we prophesy to you. We say, O Earth, hear the word of the Lord.
Oh my God.
That only this Jehovah is Lord, will be Lord, will proclaim you as Lord. Lord, we bring the hardness of the heart, of the mind, and we pray that your word will be like the hammer to break the ancient gates, these dominions. We command you to lose your hold in the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive the deliverance in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to talk about the new man. The new man. Amen. God is raising a new man, different from what we have known.
Amen.
You know, the devil is very happy with the man that is living on the earth now, because it's far from the man God has in mind. Amen. You know, we're very happy with the routine of modern man. But God sees a weakling. God sees a weakling. God sees, if you permit me, a caricature. He sees a very poor creation, far from what he had in mind. Amen. But there is a new man, and the sons of God are arising. Amen. I don't know if the sons of God are in this room. I think they are. Amen. But I'm telling you, we're going to see a new man on the earth very soon. In the next few months and days and hours, there are coming a new man on the earth. Amen. John chapter 14. The game has changed and the battle has turned. Amen. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, I don't know if you're like me. When I read it, I was starting thinking of mansions in heaven, starting thinking of streets of gold. You know, the devil has sold a lot of lies to us, and we believe that it fits into our theology. It fits into the lifestyle the devil has designed. And it's far from the reality, you know, that God had in mind from the beginning. Amen. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I receive you unto myself. Now read the next few phrases, next few words are the game changer. For me, it's a game changer. That where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Hallelujah. Where is Jesus right now? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. One way to illustrate what you know, where my thoughts are going, where I believe God is leading us to, is probably for each one of us. If you think of maybe your preoccupation, if you're a mother, housewife, you probably have things you want to do. You are thinking of going home, and maybe you have to, you know, cook or do something. I know this guy, probably he has schedules of things he has to do. And once in a while, you leave this room. You are still sitting down, but you are no longer in this room. You are somewhere else. You have flashes. And you are thinking of something. You might find yourself in a grocery store doing shopping. You are still in this room. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a reality. And that reality is the reality of the real you, of the real man. Amen. Hallelujah. God has a reality. God is a reality that we need to touch. For a long time, we have been satisfied with crumbs. We satisfied with the, you know, someone said in the spirit, the devil has pushed us into a very narrow street, and it is becoming very, very narrow, and we are being pressed, and it is because we have been a people that have refused to turn the battle to the gates. Amen. But that is changing. Hallelujah. I'll come back to this scripture. Let me go to another one. Romans 8:19. There is a heart cry. I don't know if you are part of that experience, but say, for the earnest expectation of the Creator waited for the manifestation. You know, I was saying something about manifest. That is my own way of just, you know, expressing my excitement. That is, it's a new English word I created, manifest. You know, for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. Who is this creator? You know, who is this creation? Is it a new animal, a new fish, or something? Amen. The Bible says that there are four living creatures, and they are all within me. Amen. And the Bible says that these creatures are waiting for the manifestation to become sons of God. Amen. You know, I might think that you know, somewhere along the line, I may be comfortable. I'm this, you are this, you are a farmer, you are so and so, and you are just comfortable. You have your routine, you do this, and you have, maybe you get some money, and you know. But I want to say that there is someone who is not satisfied, and that someone is the creation of God, these creatures within. And that creation is the inner man. Amen. And this creation is not satisfied. And is groaning, waiting to comfort into a liberty. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody's so quiet. I don't know. Well, let's see. You know, so for the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of whom who subjected the same in hope. Because the creature himself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Amen. He said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travailing in pain until now, and not only they, but also ourselves, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan also within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Amen. The body is not, nothing is going to happen to the body if the soul doesn't change. The resurrection of this body is going to be brought about by the mind. Amen. Okay, I didn't get any amen, so maybe that hasn't passed the test. Amen. The change in the body will be brought about by the change in the mind. That is the order of God's resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go somewhere else. Now, the Bible says God created man in his own image and in God's and his own likeness. So this man was created with a model, with a design. And that design is the design of God. Amen. I don't want to get carried away, but what is God's image? What's God's design? God's design is that the soul has the same history, the same origin, and the same destination, if you want to use that word, of God. Now, Moses said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I was saying somewhere that the soul has a geography and has a history. This body began 6,000 years ago. This body you are looking at, Earth. But the soul came from way from eternity, before time. And the soul cannot be bound by time. Okay, very little amen. All right. Okay. My soul does not obey the laws of physics and chemistry and biology, because it is coming from a completely different realm of life. But the devil has brought me to the point where I have subjected my soul to this lower realm of, you know, of space and time. Amen. But the tide is changing. And there's a breaking news that the sons of God are arising. Amen. In other words, Paul was in the temple, but he was caught up to the heavens. He was physically on earth, but he was also at the same time in the heavens. Now, that is something that, you know, that it's not part of Christian theology. It's not part of what we believe. But didn't God say, I will make man in my own image, and I will make him in my own likeness? So there is a provision in God for you and me to step up higher, to step out of the mold into a new experience. And you know, the soul in me, the mind in me, the bed in me, you understand? All the four living creatures in me, they have that hope. And they have that desire to come into the estate in which God has made them. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, all creation waiting for that liberty of the sons of God. Amen. Let me draw something here. Let me just go this way. You are familiar with this? Okay, so I will say this is Zion. This is Israel. And this will be Jacob. Amen. Our interest is Zion. That's our interest. Our interest is Zion. You know, but there's something else that we haven't put there. Maybe we'll put it in red. It's going to be Egypt. Okay, so we're looking at four dimensions, four realms: Egypt, Jacob, Israel, and Zion. You know, Zion, says that has loved the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Amen. The church has been, when I say church, I mean myself, we have been very comfortable with Jacob. We just, you know, staying in a place that God has not yet designed, or didn't design for us. Amen. Let me look at this scripture. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 5:3. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52 is a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word to someone. He says, awake. Awake. Put on thy strength. When you say awake, it's a prophetic word. It means somebody's asleep. Amen. So awake means you are sleeping. Well, in another way, someone has fallen from a realm, from a height in the spirit, and it's come to a very low place. And it says, awake. And that is the word I hear God speaking to us this night. Awake. Awake. Amen. Amen. We need to awake because we are too comfortable in this arrangement. Because this arrangement, we say, is not a reality. It's not the reality. What we think is not real is the reality. The reality is that God put a man, and a man who is as much real than as the physical man. So the outer man, it's an imitation of the inward man. Amen. The reality of the man within we are not aware of, because in our senses are shut down. Amen. You know, if you close your eyes and close your ears, we are talking about the senses. You are shut down. The man God made, he made him to be like him, God. And God is a God of senses. Everything God does, he does because he sees, he does because he hears, he does because God descends and God speaks. God, you know, all the five senses is an expression of God. And there is an inward man. And the Bible says that man is asleep. In other words, the man is not even aware of himself. You know, when you sleep, you are not aware of where you are. You are not aware of your inheritance. Paul said that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might be able to know the hope of your inheritance. A man cannot know the hope of his inheritance if in his mind he is shielded from it. Amen. Amen. I thought I would get a bigger response from that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brethren, there's a reality that God wants us to come to. Amen. And that reality is the reality of resurrection. Resurrection is a person, not a day. Resurrection is a person. It's an individual. Yes. Amen. Jesus said, I am. I am. If you come into I am, then you come into resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. We're having a doctrine of resurrection from the pit of hell that says something is going to happen to you tomorrow. That's not true. Because in the realm of the soul can step into eternity right now. And step out of time into eternity. And Hollywood knows it. Majority of the films coming out now are all virtual reality films. I talk about, I was looking at one, they said someone is going to go back in 1968 and instruct somebody to do something in the year 2050. You are not aware because we are living in a make-believe. But the reality is that the world is awake into the reality of man. Amen. You know, Brother Pott was sharing a word about generations, isn't it also? You wrote something about generation. In this room, there are how many generations? There are some who are 80, I guess. Is there anyone 80 in this room? Okay, I think so. We have some 80. You have 70. You have 60. You have 40, 50, 40, 30. And even some very small, maybe 5. So all the generations are here. Amen. So the ones that are 80, there's a reality they have which I cannot relate to. And there are some who are even younger that those who are old can't relate to. And that is a reality of time and eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. That a man can be in this room, but he is in the heavens of heavens. The Bible says the heavens and the heavens of heavens belong to God. The earth he has given to man, isn't it? So, God in his design has given this body for the earth. But the soul belongs to the heavens. And the inheritance of my soul is the heavens of heavens. It's in the very height of heaven. That's where my soul should be. And that's where... So when you measure, when we measure ourselves, the Bible says that they that measure themselves by themselves are not wise. There is a certain measure of foolishness that has come. I mean, I hope you'll pardon that word. You know, there's a certain measure of dullness that has come upon man, and we're measuring ourselves by it, and we feel it is okay, it is not okay. Amen. God has created a man that will live in the heavens, and that is why he says the mind is like a bird. Okay, the scripture says they that wait upon the Lord, what happens to them? It doesn't stop there. What do they do? They mount up with wings as what? Eagles. They keep going. So the Bible talks about the tree of righteousness. What do you think that is? A tree grows, keeps growing, doesn't stop growing. So God created a man that will touch heaven and keep growing, keep expanding, and keep relating with the very heavens of God. Because God had designed to possess the soul. The soul is God's possession.
Yeah.
And God is sending His Spirit to possess the soul for Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about the soul, we are speaking about the mind, emotions, you know all about it. It's possible that I can limit my emotions to ball games. Ball games, to eating good food and feeling very happy. You know, drive, night 2016, Toyota, you know, Highlander, everything is there, full option, everything. It's, you know, it does everything, things that you don't even imagine, and your emotion feels good. But the truth is that that's not what the emotion was created for. Amen. It's not the full capacity of the emotions, or of the mind, or of the desires, and so on. You know, and God is saying, awake, put on strength. You know, when the Bible talks about putting on strength, it's like someone who's lying down and he stands up. You know, now the first sign that there is a resurrection of the inward man is when I become aware that there is a man living in this body. So each time you eat breakfast, I want you to remember that there is someone who wants to eat breakfast also. Each time you have lunch, I want you to remember that there is an inner man who needs life, who needs energy. He might feel happy because you've eaten steak. I know some people who like steak in this room. Alright? And when you eat good food, you feel happy. But that emotion could do with something better. Amen. And that energy, God designed it to come from Him. Amen. You know, so for as long as we feed the inner man with, my friend calls it trash, you know, the inner man will continue to be lean. As the scripture has said, they desire meat, God gave them meat. But there was an effect. So He said what? Leanness in their soul. The soul can be lean. And the soul has been lean. Has been in, you know, in medicine, we call it, you know, I don't know if you relate to it, there's something called kwashiorkor. That means, you know, you see a child all dried up. It has, you know, the weight in the wrong places, you know. you know, weak, spineless, cannot stand. If I know, Paul said, the things I want to do are not the things I do. That's a weakling. Alright?
Yeah.
A man who knows what is right, but doesn't have the strength in him to say, I will do right. But only does the things he doesn't want to do. Paul said, oh, wretched man, that I am. The thing is that, brethren, we have not yet come to that place where we are desperate, that we are wretched. You know, we are comfortable with our modern life, modern American life, modern Nigerian life. You know, we are trying to copy America anyway. Alright? So both the Nigerian and the American are all you know, because they have the American dream. How many houses do you have in American dream? How many cars do you have? The American dream. Alright? You know all the things that are part of the American dream? And we in Nigeria were trying to copy the American dream. And God says, it's a wretched life. Amen. He says, this man is like a vapor. He's there today. Next minute is gone. That means he did not fulfill his purpose in God. Because the purpose in God is that he will be Zion. And he says, Zion is God's dwelling place. So think about it. If you are going to be Zion, we're talking about this great God. One of my friends said, the earth is just one little planet in the Milky Way, isn't it? In which is a constellation of planets, suns, moons, which is just a speck of the universe, which is even expanding. Do you understand? And that God sees you at his dwelling place. Meaning that there is a universe in you. Amen. Is that true? There is a universe in you. And God made it for himself. Now, this very soon we're going to have, well, maybe we'll have lunch, you eat. In other words, in the constitution of the body has to eat food. There is nourishment for the body. How is it that we imagine that there is no nourishment for the spirit? We have supermarkets, we call it supermarket, mighty malls, 1,000 shops. You go there and you get crazy. You don't know which shop to enter. You don't know. You enter this one, you come out, you enter the other one, you come out, you want to buy this, you want to buy this. You spend 24 hours shopping and you haven't gone around any of the shops yet. There are still many you haven't gone through. How is it that we think that God hasn't made the provision for the soul? How is it that we think that there is no provision to nourish the inward man? Amen. There is such a place. There is such a place. There is a reality in the spirit that we are still scrounging around it. You know, once in a while we touch it and we come out very quickly. But God is bringing the people that will break in. And in breaking in, we will remain there. I'm thinking I should get somebody excited, but I still don't see an excitement. Amen. Okay, let's try again. Let's look at Ezekiel. 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 Ezekiel 43. He says, afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looked toward the east. Amen. The east, you know, of course we know, speaks of the entrance to the tabernacle. So this is the east. And then this is the West. Amen. And the Bible says he planted a garden where? Eastward in Eden. This is not. He planted a garden eastward in Eden. So there is a realm in the spirit where there is life. Brother Wade, you know, always talks about connecting. You know, the point of connection is in the mind. Amen. The devil has made many of us afraid of the mind. We are all afraid. Well, if you, when I use all, that means it's something in the spirit that there was something that made the Sadducees to be afraid of the mind and spirit. They didn't believe that there were spirits. They didn't believe that there were angels. They didn't believe in resurrection. You know, modern day Christians are much like Sadducees. By the way, Sadducees are sons of Zadok. Yes, they are descendants of Zadok, the priest. Yes, the Sadducees. Yes, the Sadducees are descendants of Zadok, the priest in Zadok. Yes, Zadok, yeah. And so you can see where they have gone from. Their great-great grandfather was a man of the spirit. But down the line, they became a people that didn't believe in spirits. And the modern day church doesn't believe in spirits. We are afraid of spirits. Is there anybody that doesn't fear spirit in this room? You like spirit. But the mind, the soul, is a spiritual creature. Lives in a spiritual world. Amen. It came from God and is going to go back to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And here, he's speaking about the East. And he says the glory of God is coming back. He said, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like the noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Chebar. And I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. Amen. Brethren, the glory is coming. You know, it's possible that I'm asleep. It doesn't stop the glory coming. It's just that I'm a candidate to miss the visitation of God. Amen. 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 Am I a candidate to miss this visitation? If I'm asleep when I should be awake, then I'm going to miss out. Can you imagine a young man standing up and says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father? I mean, those guys almost ran out of the room. Because it's like this is an abomination. Alright? So let's go back and read John again. John 14. Pardon? Okay, yes.
He was the transfer of authority.
Yes. Amen. Verse 3, we stopped at verse 2. You see, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I receive you unto myself. that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way, you know. Amen. And Thomas, who is like one of us, said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Adam means God in man. That's what Adam means. God dwelling in man. And there's another one of such words, Emmanuel. It means God with us. It's the same concept. God took clay, took humanity, and breathed. In other words, he poured himself into this. So God in earth. Amen. That's Adam. The first one and the second. Amen. So there is something in the mind of God that is about being breathed. It is about being made a reality. Amen. And I'm just trying to stir up our imagination. I'm trying to be a little bit rude in a very holy way. I hope you'll forgive my rudeness for being very... But brethren, there's a reality. Amen. There's a reality in God. And God wants you and I to come into that place. We have stayed too long in this Jacob and Israel business. Amen. He wants us to come into Zion. Because Zion is the dwelling place of God. And God's temple is a living, walking, talking man. Amen. Who has an expression of God, who is in touch in heaven. That means he lives in Texas, but he lives actually in heaven. Amen. His economy is heaven-driven, heaven-powered. His economy is not dependent on the American economy. It's heaven-originated and powered. Amen. Hallelujah. Those are the men that are going to overcome ISIS. Those are the men. There is, by the way, there is something worse coming. There's another locust coming. Worse than ISIS. Oh yes. And the Bible says, if we have run with the footmen and they overcame us, we can't stand the spirits. The locusts. You know, the thing mutates. You know? In Nigeria, it started off as just something local. Now it's mutated. It's a monster that no one can control. Amen. And you think that's the worst. Something worse is coming. You know, when I hear someone say, we have defeated Al-Qaeda, we are going to defeat ISIS. I say, well, that is very ambitious. You know, because there's something worse that's coming. The Bible says, you saw them, you know, the horsemen are coming from the east. The east is the Antichrist east. That is the mind of man that is overtaken by darkness. You understand? And there's no way you and I can stand against them if we continue this economy of American dream and Nigerian dream. We have to come to the reality of God. The man God made. Jesus was on earth, but he was with his Father in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. That is the man God put on the earth to have dominion. What I am now is not the reality. Amen. And it's high time to awake. Amen. So it says, awake, awake, O Zion, and put on thy beautiful garments. Amen. We'll come to garments, but let me read another scripture. Because I don't believe it. It's not abstract, it's real. So I know it may look a little bit abstract now, but we'll soon put it into a perspective of reality. 1 Corinthians 2 has been a scripture that has helped me so much. 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 has been great help. He said, but as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Amen. You know, many times we read the first one and stop at verse 9, and then we have confusion. We have a disconnection. Amen. But we must read verse 9 with 10. And 10 is the reality, is the excitement. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, it's all, you know, abstract when we remove the Spirit. Amen. And that's the problem with the Greek teaching of the mind. You know, the Greeks, they know all about psychology. You know, Greek, Latin, you know, Romans, Greek, Roman, and our German theology, German, you know, thinking, Goethe, all those philosophies of socialism, all the Karl Marx, all of them. It's a thinking, it's a mind, but the thing is that the mind is falling. The mind is on the earth, it's falling. Because when you think of the mind, you must think of the serpent. Yes, you look at Pharaoh, the characterization of Pharaoh is the serpent on his head. It's on his crown, it's on his head. Alright, so when you see Pharaoh, you see a serpent. And the serpent is an earthbound. He gets the energy from his belly, from the earth. Yes. Amen. So when you think of the mind is falling. And you can meditate from here to Houston and back again. The mind is not going anywhere. There is no energy you can get from anything except you get the blood into that mind. Except you get the Spirit into that mind. And except you get the Word into the mind. Amen. Amen. This room is very quiet. Hallelujah. So, we're not talking about psychology or psychiatry or mind science. All those are imitations. Amen. Limitations, you know. So I know in the American society, psychology is very important. It's restricted. You can't just become a psychologist unless you're properly trained. Everything is, you know, all the advance are mind-based advance. It's a mind-based society, but that mind is falling. That mind is earthbound. That mind is carnal. And that mind is antichrist. Yes. He said the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. It's horizontal, man to man, earth to earth. There is no depth or height in it. Amen. Right. The change comes when you bring the blood. Because he said it is the blood that brings atonement for the soul. And the chief of the soul is the mind. Hallelujah. So the redemption we are speaking about is not psychology or education. It's not book. It is spirit, blood, energy, light, power. Amen. Hallelujah. And the hope we have is that my mind can rise. My mindset can change and will change. Amen. You know, Martin was telling us the story about Brooklyn and Lad, isn't it? Lad. Amen. You know, for me, if the food is not sweet, it's not food. I'm even worse than Martin. If the food is not sweet, it's not food. I ate the broccoli because some very wise sister decided to make the sauce very sweet. So fine, I was ready to eat the broccoli. So I was mixing it. So when I took it, I was actually enjoying the sweetness of the sauce. Amen. But the thing is, the change that's coming, there's a change coming to the mind. Amen. As a redemption for the mind. As a redemption for the mind. Amen. And the scripture tells us the king is in the mind. It's a be thou transformed. Metamorpho. Alright? You know, when you think of metamorpho, you must think of that mountain of transfiguration. There was one young man that went up on that mountain. And the Bible says he began to be metamorphosed. He began to be transformed. There was an energy that began to come out. He unlocked the door of the inward man. And the inward man began to manifest. And the Bible says that they saw a light, they saw an energy, they saw a clothing. I want to tell you that your inward man has a dress, has a garment. Oh yes, has a garment. One way to relate to it is to look at, I go back to Ezekiel. He told them, he said, look, these sons of Zadok, when you come into minister, you put off your other garments, and then you put on the priestly garments to minister. And then when they finish, they put it off and put on other garments and go out. Hallelujah. And the soul is a priest. It must wear proper garments. Hallelujah. So for each one of us, there is a garmenting. There is a clothing of the inward man. It's possible that some of us, we are naked, we are not properly clothed. And therefore we can't bring ministry. Amen. There's a new ministry coming forth from the earth. It's the ministry of the new man in Christ. Amen. There's a new man rising. Amen. Hallelujah. So this scripture is saying, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spirit. Amen. So, brethren, we're in the place of revelation. Now, the spirit works with the mind. The spirit works with the mind, and that's the whole thing about the East Gate. Amen. The spirit works with the mind. You know, if God wants to deal with you, he's going to deal with you through your mind. Amen. And the spirit has different realms and dimensions. So also the mind has different realms and dimensions. the mind has, it has the capacity to relate with earthly things. But really, the mind has more capacity to relate with the spirit. Amen. Amen. The mind is the closest part to the body. It's up here. Up here, you don't have the, all you have is brain. Here, you have the brain. But how is it that all the senses, 4 out of 5, are up here? How come? Is it by mistake? No? Amen. It's by design. By the way, I believe in intelligent design, isn't it? I'm sure we all believe in intelligent design. Okay, so someone intelligently designed that 4 out of 5 senses are in the head. Okay? Alright, so this brain, they have chemicals that relate to the mind. So, my mood is controlled by chemicals. And my mood comes from my emotions. Isn't it also? Amen. So, the smell, you know, quickens my emotions. But the thing is, the soul has various entrances. There are many ways to relate with the soul. Amen. Now, the devil found that out. So, the devil wants he wants that man. He wants to control, he wants to manipulate. So, he's going to play on the various senses. Okay, so advertisement plays in all those senses to manipulate the inman, the inward man. Hallelujah. But the thing is, the soul is a creation of images. God talks to, when I speak, my words create images, and images create words. I don't know if we are together. Amen. When I speak, it creates an image in you. That's how you receive what I'm saying. You hear what, you hear a sound, but it creates an image in you. Okay, so the mind is an image worshiper. I don't know if I'm going too fast. The mind will imitate, will relate to any image that is displayed on his dashboard, on his screen. On his, well, you call it heart. Amen. So the mind is a creation of images. The only thing it does is images. Just like in computer, you have two figures, 1, 2, 1 and 2. Is that correct?
Zero.
Well, okay, 0, 1 and 2. Is it okay? Good. So that's 3. Oh, 0 and 1. Okay, sorry. I thought it's a long time. Okay. Okay, very good. Alright, so that's the language. Alright? It's a computer language. Not too many words. Now, in the spirit, there are only two languages. Light and darkness. In the spirit, there are two. Light and darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. And the mind is a creation of, is a creature of images. So the images create words, and the words create images, and the mind responds to them. Amen. So what is all this mind thing? You know, where is it leading us to? Amen. Now the point is that the mind, has 5 senses. Or there are 5 gates to get into the mind. Of course, if you imagine that the mind has another connection to the emotions, the mind has another connection to the desire, and of course, another one to the will. Okay, so it's all in a maze. So you have the eye, you have the ear, you have the smelling, the nose, and then you have the taste, and you have the touch. Now, when we think about the mind, the mistake is that we think of ourselves. When we talk about eyes, we think of two round things. That's not the mind. Sorry, that's not the eye. Okay. Now, we are thinking of the eye in the body, but there is an eye in the soul. There is a capacity in my soul to see things. And for a long time, we have been blind. How can a man who is spiritually blind walk in the spirit? How can a man who is physically blind walk physically? So, there is a man who has been blind from birth, and it is the Sabbath of God. Amen. And Jesus says, the blind leading the blind, you know where they are all going to end up. In a ditch. And the Bible says the hall is a deep ditch. So there's a spirit of whoredom that has taken over the church. Because the church can't see spiritually. The church is walking by physical sight. Alright? And if you look at Isaiah 11, it says they shall not walk after the sight, that they shall walk by the Spirit. So there is a change in the church. There is a change in Zion, because Zion is seeing now. Zion is now hearing. Amen. And you know, on the last day, you must be in the Spirit. It is a crime not to be in the Spirit on the last day. Okay? John was in the Spirit on the last day. And because he was in the Spirit, the Bible says that when he turned, he saw and he heard. Yes. Amen. The thing is, we are not seeing the Lord. We are seeing an image of religion, of a creation in Bible schools, in theology schools, dead doctrines. Right. Amen. You know, thoughts of men about Egypt, about the Bible, about the Holy Land, about Christology, the Paulology, the Johnology of, you know, they've made everything orgy. They have brought the Bible to study, to the philosophy of men, and they've taken away the power thereof. Yes. Amen. Amen. But the mind sees. Amen. That's why I love Thayer's Bible. I love the concordance. When you go to the concordance, it will tell you to perceive means to see by the senses. Amen. You know what? If my mind, if my physical eyes were shut, I would still see. Amen. If my physical ears were closed, I would still hear God. Don't you understand? You know what? So the man God made doesn't need the physical senses to operate. But the devil has turned it around, that this man is a man of the physical senses. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore he said, eye has not seen, ears not heard the things that God has revealed by the Spirit. So it is the Spirit. Of course we know the picture, our circles. Alright, so this is the soul. This is the human spirit. Alright, and then this is the body. But, of course, the human spirit is in fellowship with the Spirit of God. Okay, and that makes the whole difference. So, the revelation is in the spirit. But the man who needs the revelation is in travail. The soul is in travail, it's in darkness. About God. Amen. So Jesus said to the man, except your eyes open, you can't see the kingdom. Alright, so the man sees the kingdom in Jacob, but he's still a cripple. He hasn't walked in. He's by the temple. The man was right there by the temple 38 years, crippled, not able to enter. Amen. And there was another one who was eating, he was in the king's table, Mephibosheth. Alright? He will come to the king's table, eat, and not be able to walk. It's a prophetic word. Alright, of a people who are hearing end time word. Some of them are back outside the tabernacle. Alright? They believed the tabernacle. They believed the word. They talked about it. But right now they are back somewhere else. Amen. That is hearing the word and not be able to walk in it. Hallelujah. And the landscape of the church is filled with cripples. Amen. Amen. Why is everybody so quiet? Amen. God needs to heal his people. Amen. That we will walk in this light. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There is an energy that's coming into the soul. Amen. There's an energy. You know, John chapter 6, you know, the scripture I read there, I think John 6:59 says, as the Heavenly Father has life, he says, I live by the power of the Heavenly Father. Jesus lived by the power of heaven, by the energy of heaven. Amen. Brethren, there is a place in the spirit. It's called the land of promise, Canaan. You call it Canaan. It was an experience for them, but for me and you, there is a Canaan. There's a land flowing with milk and honey.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And God is showing that my soul can get into that place. My soul can break through the Jordan. You know, the Jordan is this experience. This is where you have Jordan. Alright, this is Jordan. This is the Red Sea. Huh? Okay. And then this is another river. Okay, and this is Ezekiel's river. Amen. This is what propels us into. There's a river, there's a force that is going to bring your people into the reality. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if you feel that energy. But, you know, when we went to Uganda, I told them I want to go to the Lake Victoria. Amen. Anyone who's gone close, you know, when you are 40 miles, you know you are somewhere. There is something different. The atmosphere changes. You begin to hear a rumbling. It's a rumbling of the lake. You know, the water. The waterfall. The atmosphere changes. Everything is different. I don't know, but I hear a rumbling. You know, I see something about to break. Amen. Brethren, it's no longer as it was before. There is a door open in heaven, and a man must go through that door. I don't know if you are comfortable. Sorry, I don't want to say in American dream, because I also have my Nigerian dream. You know. It's a mold the devil has brought to trap you and trap me. You know, and it's a mode of a mindset. And it's a carnal mindset. It's a mindset of physical reality. Amen. That's the Greek Roman religion. You know, well, I don't know if I want to say religion, but lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of physical reality. But God is saying there is another reality that is spiritual. And that spiritual reality is for the inward man. Amen. Where we can see, and we can hear, and we can relate in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright. So I think we can go forward. Amen. I hear it's still morning.
Hallelujah.
Luke 11. Amen. Luke 11. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we are now in the good, in the exciting part. We have come into the spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 11 changes the game. Amen. Luke 11:33 says, no man, when he lighted a candle, put his it in a secret place, under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Amen. Verse 34 is my interest. He said, the light of the body is what? Is the eye. You can also read it. The light of the soul is the eye also. Amen. The soul needs a light. Hallelujah. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body is what? Full of light. Amen. But when thy eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. And then verse 35 says, it speaks of the energy. Alright? It says, take heed therefore that the energy which is in you, or the light that's in you, be not the energy of darkness. He's saying darkness is an energy. Do you know we can live our life by the strength of darkness? Amen. And that was the vision that Rajim had this morning. He talked about the black thing. Okay, someone, yes, finger of God pushing, and then it turned to some a mixture, and then became light. Amen. Brethren, I'm interested in this energy, this light. And he says this light depends on the eye, the openings into the soul. The soul is a dark place and must be enlightened. Amen. When I think of enlightenment of the soul, brethren, there is danger. I want to tell us that there is danger. Because on the fifth day of creation, there is something that God allows. On the sixth day of creation, there is something that also happens. On the fifth day, he said there were many fishes in the sea. Not just many fishes, many birds, many flying creatures, right? Now, those are speaking of dimensions of the mind that are going to increase. The activity, the spirits that attack the mind are being given liberty. If they are being given liberty, God is saying, I'm giving them liberty because you have a provision in me to overcome these spirits. Amen. Now he says that there were many fishes. That is speaking about, of course, the waters speak of the world. In the waters, you have ships. Ship captains. He's speaking about organizations, concepts, internet, YouTube, Twitter. What's the other one? Instagram. What's the other one? There are many ships. There are many human creations in the world that will swallow you up. You know, there was a fish that swallowed Job, isn't it? Oh yeah, Jonah. And many of us are in the belly of the fish. We're in the belly of organizations. It might be a workplace, it might be a mortgage, it might be insurance, it might be, you know, this, it might be this, health plan, it might be, you know, whatever you call it, but God called them fishes. They are swallowing, they are overwhelming. You know, when the fish swallows, you're overwhelmed. And you lose control. You go with the stream. Amen. And that is speaking of strength. And God says, awake. Awake. O Zion. There are very strong spirits being released in the world today. You know, very strong spirits. You know, I was there and I saw in Paris, I saw the thing happening. And the first thing the man said, that there was an American plane playing, and their name is Eagles of Death Metal. I almost fainted. I said, what? Do you know the name of the group? Eagles of Death Metal Band. It's a rock band. It's a Satanist rock band. So what they did in that place was human sacrifice.
Amen.
It was human sacrifice. It's a Satanist band. I went quickly, I looked it up, and my God, I said, these are Satanists sacrificing young people. So you think it's, you know, Al-Qaeda and ISIS, of course, all the theology of, say, forget it. It's a spiritual reality that we are involved in. Okay, there are very strong spirits that have been released. And God expects you and I to be rise up in the spirit of Christ to overcome them. Amen. You can say amen.
There is something that I've been looking at concerning these incidences that we are seeing, these multiple shootings, both in the United States, in Europe, and of course in other places. What it is that the Lord is showing me is that the devil is planning something, and he needs the blood.
That's right.
He is planning something very big, and even as I'm talking about it now, it seems to be coming a little bit clearer. And what he is planning is something very big, let's say like 9/11, on that, if not more, but not just in one place, but simultaneously in different locations, that those things would happen. And what he needs is the blood to strengthen his position and to orchestrate his plan and to facilitate what it is that he wants to do.
Yes, all right. Excellent. You know, so the thing is, in our theology, we are still working with the evangelical platform. You know, coming to church, saying, have a nice time, a nice word, and God forget it. The thing has gone far beyond that.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a reality that we need to come into. And that reality is the reality of Christ. Amen. And the reality of it also is the tabernacle. Amen. Okay. I'll soon get into the tabernacle. You know, Brother Bud preached for 1 hour. So I only started like 30 minutes ago. Okay, so you guys, you have to give me the break. Alright. Amen. Hallelujah. But we are coming to the exciting part. You see, but the light of the body is the eye. Okay. So my interest is on the eye, because the Bible does say something about the eye. The Bible speaks about the healing of the eyes, the healing of the mind. Amen. There is something that heals the mind. There's something that heals the eye. Amen. Alright, so let's look at another scripture dealing with this. 1 Corinthians 15. Don't worry, I'll soon come to an end. Verse 51. So behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all what? The sleeping is not speaking about what you probably, your body may be telling you, it's bedtime. Well, what I hear in the spirit is awakening time. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we shall all be what?
Changed.
Brethren, we have come to a place of change. And when you look at the tabernacle as a place of change, and that place is Israel. Who was Israel? Israel was Jacob. But Jacob didn't know he was Israel until he had a revelation.
Yes.
I need a revelation.
Yes.
A revelation is a spiritual reality that's hidden, but opened by the Spirit of God. Amen. We need a revelation of who we truly are. Amen. And that revelation comes by the Spirit. It's something that the Spirit comes and He begins to, you know, to open our understanding. Now, the soul has a problem. The soul is carrying a burden. That burden we see in Revelation 17. He said there was a beast that was carrying a woman. I know this will get Brother Mark interested. Okay. Well, I know there are different things about the beast, so I'm not going to the historical part or that. I'm interested in the spiritual dimension of it. Because it speaks of spiritual Babylon. It speaks about the depths of Satan. It speaks about his war room. Amen. And in it is a time. It's a prophetic time. Revelation 17. He says there was a beast that was carrying a woman. And the beast worships the woman. Worships the image. I don't know if you understand. The beast is a prophetic language for the nature of the soul. The soul must assume different nature, different stereotypes. I don't know if that would make more meaning. Okay? When the soul fell, it had to assume, it had to put on a particular nature of a fallen man. Okay? Now, this man, his inward senses are shut or closed. Alright? And the way Ezekiel saw it was four living creatures. Four wings. Alright? But they were full of eyes. They had the nature of light. Light was flashing and coming back. You understand? But there was something happening to them. He said they saw the firmament above their heads. Okay? But we see another cherubim, or another set of living creatures with the heavens in the midst of their soul. Amen. In other words, there's a change. The cherubims mentioned in Revelation have six wings, which speaks about a strength. Alright? Now, wings is a spiritual language for spiritual ability in the soul. Alright? Now, with wing, you function in the air, isn't it? Air is a piece of spirit. You cannot function in the spirit unless you have wings or capacity to operate in the spirit. Alright? Now, you see, with two wings, they cover their feet. With two wings, they cover their face. And with two wings, they're able to fly. So, imagine a set of creatures, they have just four wings. They do not have the capacity to rise. So when you see danger coming, they do not have the ability to rise, to maneuver and overcome. But God says, I have a new creation that's going to have an ability to rise. And He calls it the wings of an eagle. Amen. So we're speaking about a strength. When He says, awake, awake, O Zion, put on thy strength. He's saying that there is something God has created that you and I can have. We can take it. And it can become faculty. It can become an ability that my soul acquires to rise above circumstances, to rise above gossip, to rise against worry, to rise against fear. Be careful when you go into the hospital because you're about to get cancer. Be careful when you go and be the doctor because you're about to get hypertension. Because the doctor is an authority figure. He says, you have this. You don't have it until your soul says, I have it. If your soul agrees you have it, then you have it. Oh, I thought this room would erupt. Amen. You don't have it if your soul doesn't have it. Because your soul can command your body to reject it. Oh my God. Amen. The power to heal the body is in the soul. He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as what happens? As your soul receives the energy of God and gives that energy to the body. Amen. That's why I say the game has changed. Because someone is beginning to break through and is realizing the gift, the blessings God has given to him. Amen. Hallelujah. So when next you go to the doctor, you need to bind the doctor. You need to bind the spirit in the hospitals. Amen. Don't just accept it on face value. Amen. Don't accept it on face value. Don't accept it on face value. It's like when a child goes into a school, the spirit in the teacher is going to fall on the child. It's going to be transferred to the child. So those are authority figures. That is the doctrine of laying on of hands. Okay. It's like when you begin to listen too much to someone. I hear someone around here. Amen. Okay. Amen. You know, everything is good, 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 good. Amen. Sweet, sweet talk. Then you get the spirit of motivational overcoming. That has no reality in scripture. He tells you to imagine it. Imagine your house in a beautiful house. It's not the imagining that does it. It's the devil that goes to create. Amen. The mind can create things. But we are speaking about the thing that is from the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're not speaking about mindset. We're speaking about tabernacle. Amen. You know, because there are three things that bring the life of God: the spirit, the word, and the blood. So the mind we are talking about is the mind that is being renewed by these three things. Amen. And that is the story of the tabernacle. So he says, when you bring the high priest, you must first put blood on his ears. As the first consecration of the high priest, blood on the ear. Blood on the thumb. Blood on his toe. In other words, you can't bring service when you cannot hear God. The hearing must be redeemed. Hallelujah. And then it doesn't end there. You must bring blood. You must bring what? Oil. On top of the blood. On top of the ear. Amen. Hallelujah. God cannot anoint what has not been consecrated. And that is the experience of the liver. This liver is the place of consecration. But before we come to the liver, our senses must come to the brazen altar. Our senses must be judged. What we see, what we hear, what we discern must be judged. Amen. So, someone says tabernacle is dead. God can forgive him. Because he does not know what he's saying. And Jesus said, forgive them, for they don't know what they say. Amen. So, fallen man has to deal with his fallen soul, has to deal with his fallen mind, has to deal with his fallen senses. And those seven stations are the seven ladder, seven steps back into heaven. Amen. So the senses fell, are shut up, closed. Alright? They need to open again. And that is what Paul is talking about. That we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. When the eye opens, shine, you know, bust open. When the eyes of understanding open and the light of God begins to come into the soul. Amen. The Bible says the entrance of the word giveth light. Amen. The soul is not changed until it comes to the holy place. That is what you can say is Israel. That's where the man's nature is changed. That is where the nature of the soul is changed. It's no longer carrying the burden of the woman. The harlot woman is an opening into a realm of hosts of dark spirits that are feeding upon the energy in the soul. So the soul is overburdened, is covered up, is carrying a burden, and is struggling to raise up his head. Amen. And God is in the business of breaking this covering. He says that when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil over the mind will be broken. Amen. Brethren, we need to break through. And the Bible says, as soon as Zion travailed, she broke through. Each one of us must have a breakthrough in the spirit. Where we cast off. Paul says, put off the old man. The old man is a nature of the soul that is saddled with a burden of spirits. Amen. It's carrying. We are carrying. We are giving life to these spirits. We worship them. The spirit of anger. Alright, Brother George was talking about it. Alright, he's sitting right there in emotion. It is an altar that emotion brings sacrifice to. I don't know if you understand. When I get angry, there's a spirit that feeds. The scripture says that death shall feed upon them. I don't know if you understand. There are spirits that feed upon the anger, that feed upon the lust. Some of those are spirits that have come through the families, through the tribal things, amen, the natures. And there are altars where sacrifice is made, offering of life. The soul is a perfect worshipper. The mind is even the most perfect worshipper. It brings life. It brings strength. This conference was giving life. Because someone had an image, saw something, and said, there will be a conference from December, so and so and so and so. And the mind began to give life to that thought. And here you are sitting on the chair because it has been a creation of the mind. It's a beautiful thing in God, but it also gives life to the image of the beast. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is saying that has to change. There's a whole lot of operation within our soul that God says must change. Alright, so I want to talk about change in the next few minutes and then I'm going to close. Let's go to the scripture of change. Psalm 19 is the scripture of change. Amen. Amen. He said, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Doing what? Converting the soul. Amen. Change is coming to the soul. I thought this was going to get us excited. Amen. Change is coming to your soul, brother. Amen. He is excited. Amen. That's very good. Change is coming to my soul. Amen. Amen. He said the word of the Lord is what? Perfect. Converting the soul. So I look at my soul, my capacity to see the things of God. How can I walk with God when I cannot see the purposes of God? Amen. I need to see into eternity going forward. And I need to see into eternity past. That is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the one rascal called Daniel and said, look, come, I had a dream last night. You tell me the dream and then the interpretation. You understand what I'm talking about? He called him. He said, look, this guy is there. I've told them to tell me. They say it's never happened. It's true. But there is a man that hears from Radio Heaven. Do you have your ears tuned to Radio Heaven? Huh? Radio Zion. Hallelujah. It's 24-hour frequency. Amen. And I hear it has video. Alright? And John had that video played for him. Alright? The man was in prison, but he was in the heavens. 24-hour video. Brethren, we are about to take off. Are you part of this train that's about to take off? Amen. Audio. Visual. Straight from Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. God can play it for you. What is going to happen? And you see it. Amen. And he can take you back and begin to play what has happened also. There is a new man God is raising on the earth. The man that can see into the spirit. You know, I was at the airport. We left camp very early in the morning. Got to the airport, sat down. They said there was no vision. Yes, in the airport in Lagos, because I was going to fly. We were going to fly from Port Harcourt to Lagos, 1 hour, join Emirates, go to Dubai, then fly to Washington. All right. By 12 o'clock, we were still in Port Harcourt. Why? The airport in Lagos, no vision. All right. Visibility was less than required standard. They said they closed the airport. Many of us have been shut down because we do not have vision.
Yeah,
do not have vision into the plan of God for your life, for my life, for the people of God. So when God says, go to Zion, go to Jerusalem, we are going to Jericho. There was such a man. Because the Bible says 3 times in a year, every man must go to Jerusalem. He got up and began to go to Jericho. Amen. And you know what happened to him? He ran into robbers. Many of us have run into spirits because we have not discerned the move of God.
Yeah.
Amen. We got up and we have followed every wind of doctrine.
Yeah.
And we have been blown out of God's covering. We are in a place where there is no life. Past land. The soul is dry. Listen to philosophies of men. Amen. Doctrines of devils. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is saying it's time to repent. We need to see the mind of God. Rightly dividing the scriptures. Amen. There is a place where we need to hear. How can the priest function when he cannot hear? Read, go home and check. Mark in your Bible. Mark how many times you say God heard, God saw, God did. God doesn't do anything, but he hears and sees, hears and sees, hears and sees, hears and sees. And he created us with in his own image and likeness. We can hear God. I can hear God. Amen. And it is an ability that God is bringing to us. I think of the dog. Think about the dog. Yes, the dog. How many of us have dogs here? Go and look at the dog very well. Half of the face is made up of nose. Yes. Because it's a capacity God has given it to smell. I got down to Atlanta and I saw this little dog coming. Initially, I didn't know what was going on. It was running, coming near me. I stopped. The dog came to me. I began to smell my bag. I said, oh, I see. He's sniffing for something. Amen. All right. And he had these big ears. What do you think they are for? Why do you think God made you all mind? Don't you understand? This represents the mind, the forehead. Man is a mind creation of God. But we have shut down our minds. Our minds are fallen. May the Lord raise our minds. Amen. He says, as the earth is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher. That means I need to put down my thoughts and get into God's thoughts. Amen. So he says, the word of the Lord is what? Perfect. converting. So that conversion is what you call shewbread. You call it shewbread. It's a table of bread. Alright? But there is something happening there. For Moses it was table. You is not table. It's perception. 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 Okay? Perception. It's a word that means to see by the senses. That's how God feeds your soul. To see by the senses of the mind. Check all the concordance. Stayers, Strongs, Youngs, as many as you can find, they will tell you the same thing. It means to be aware by the mind. Hallelujah. That's how God feeds the mind. The mind feeds on words. The mind feeds on images. Amen. And God has such a place if we will fix our mind. Say, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When you wait on the Lord, you are waiting for God to speak to you. You see, as all the earth waits, so as the maiden waits upon the mistress, so our soul waits for the Lord. David said, my soul waits for the Lord. Amen. He said, my soul waits for the Lord more than they that wait for the morning. Yes. Amen. You know, there's a strength we need in our desire to desire the Lord. Amen. But the Bible says, to the full soul, even the sweeter thing becomes bitter. But to the hungry soul, even that which is bitter becomes sweet. So when the soul is full, it's not hungry. So what the devil does is to load up our soul with movies, with ambitions, with lots of jobs, to-do list. Amen. And I remember Brother Bud always telling us that our minds are not fixed on the things of God. Amen. We need to hear the prophetic word to tune our mind on the Lord. If my mind is fixed on God, He's going to speak. He's a talking God. Because He's a hearing God. Amen. So the Bible says that the word of God has the capacity to change. Because it says the entrance of the word brings light. So in the holy place, two things happen. It is a place for enlightenment of the soul, and a place where the energy of God also comes into the soul. So the enlightenment comes by the lampstand, the oil. See, the light is the illumination of the mind. Inner light. Inner ability to see, you know, into the spirit. The Bible says, the man that is prudent sees the danger and what? Hides. We are not able to perceive the plan of the enemy, so we'll walk right into it. Amen. And that is because vision has been taken away from us. But let me end by the beautiful picture. The golden altar. Let me jump to the golden altar. Some other time we can come back and end. But let me go to the golden altar, because there is something, a principle. Now, in the golden altar, there are two sticks. They call these tapes. That is what the high priest carries to go in. Alright? Now, that is of an energy that I need in my soul to break through the veil. I don't know if I'm communicating. Those sticks, they speak of an energy in the soul to break through the barrier of the veil. You know, so if this altar is going to pass, it must break through the veil, the flesh. Now, when we talk about the veil, it might mean different things, but what I see is the limitation in my senses. You know, the fallen nature of the mind must be quickened, must be energized. You know, and the Bible says that as long Moses was saying, talking about Moses, as long as Moses is read, that there is a veil over their minds. But that when it turns to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. So there is a place where the veil is taken away, and we receive an ability to break into the Spirit, into the place where there is a provision made for us. It is essential that we come into that place, because in the holy place, in the holiest of all, there are three things. There was a pot of manna. There is a provision of strength and of life that we need now to meet the challenges of darkness in our time. And that provision is in the holiest of all. Amen. And you and I need to come up here. We need to rise in the Spirit to tap into that provision. Amen. Because the golden pot of manna, the golden pot of manna was a testimony in Israel. It didn't, the Bible said man ate angels' food, is it not? He said man ate the corn of heaven. For 40 years they were eating bread from heaven. And right now we need that testimony of divine provision, divine strength, divine energy. Amen. I was able to buy a ticket to come here with only $100. Yes. We were at the airport, plane cancelled. I called Emirates, said, sorry, you can't enter the flight, we can't wait for you. I'm right in Port Harcourt, plane takes off. How am I going to get here? Divine energy. It's called a miracle. Alright. I called the travel agent, can you get another airline? Well, let me see. Call me 30 minutes, say, I've got two seats for you on Delta, flying to Atlanta. In fact, he says, can you get me to Austin? He said, well, let me see. He said, he called me, check your email, you have a ticket to Austin. When will I get there? 10 a.m. in the morning. 6 hours earlier. Hallelujah. It's called golden pot of manna. Energy. Amen. Brethren, we need to change our fuel in our car to heaven fuel. You know, we are so comfortable with our mechanics. We can fix it. Credit card. We can fix it. Hospital. We can fix it. This. But there is another economy. Amen. That's above credit card, above the American system, above the Nigerian system. $100, you buy a plane ticket that costs $1,000 something. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm trying to say that there is a provision. There is a provision. And God is making it available. The way into that provision is by the Spirit. And you have the Spirit in you. Amen. Hallelujah. If we will turn to the Spirit channel, it will bring us into a new experience. Hallelujah. Now, how about the second experience? In that act, you also see two tables. Let me talk about that in a minute. There is a law written on your conscience. Romans 2 says, God judges every man by the law of the conscience. Those who don't have the natural law, God doesn't bother them. He judges them by a higher law, by the law of the conscience. There are inscriptions on our mind. There are writings on our mind. Paul said, if I then do the things that I do not like, then there is a law working in my members. He called it the law of sin and death, bringing me into bondage. But I know a higher law, that is erasing the old law and installing a new program. Yeah. Hallelujah.